Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the nation's capital, it's Quintessential Listening, Poetry, with host Dr. Michael Anthony Ingram.
So I was told as a child. So I grew up believing that it is what it is. If it is what it is, and that you should not question what it is if it is what it is. Now, I'm much older, and I know otherwise. Life has taught me that you must question what it is in order to find out what it ain't. If it ain't what it was, that you would thought that it was, then it is what it is because it is what it is. But if it is what it is, and you thought that it was, then it ain't what it was. Someone told you that it was, and it is what it is because you question what it is to find out what it ain't. So always remember to question what it is, because it is what it is until you find out that it ain't. And you'll never know what it ain't until you find out what it is. Good evening, everyone. My name is Michael Anthony Ingram, and welcome to Quintessential Listening Poetry. This is our second episode. And I'd like to welcome a very special guest. Oh, first of all, though, that particular piece of poetry can be found in my new book, When Cherry Blossoms Fall on Black Skin, which will be available at the end of September. All right. I'd like to welcome now a young man who is a Renaissance artist. He hails from Rochester, Minnesota. He avidly performs in theater, poetry, dance, and music. He has written poetry for about 10 years. And in that particular time has won two poetry slams as well as published an anthology in 2009. Tonight he will have an opportunity to share his poems of growth, resilience, and perspective with audiences, with young and old alike. So again, everyone, please give a round of applause to our guest tonight, Mr. Dominic Jones. Dominic, are you there?
Thank you. I am here.
Yes.
Thanks.
Correct. All right. Dominic, you're a.k.a. Zinamir. Tell me about that, Zinamir.
So, honestly, the funny story with this was my name actually started out as a gaming username that I was just making up out off the spot. And I actually really liked the sound of it, and I kind of kept it in my pocket for a while. And when I was thinking about, like, arts aliases for the world of the internet, I was pulled that name back out, and I wanted to know more about what it meant before I committed to it in that sense. And when you look into it, Zen or Zine translates to strange or foreign, and Mare goes into is actually Hebrew, I found out, for one who shines. So putting the name together is strange one who shines.
All right, one who shines. You know, you've been writing poetry for about 10 years. What's been your inspiration during this time? What keeps you writing?
At first, it was just like something I just tried out. Eventually, it actually transferred into more like a lifeline kind of thing. I actually spent a bit of time homeless, and that's when it really like kicked into high gear. And where most of my work comes from now is post that period of me being homeless. It became something that just I needed at the time.
Right. You have a very powerful story to share. So what I'd like you to do is to begin. Please share with us a piece of your work.
All right. This one is the boy I almost became. I met this boy once. He was a bundle of energy paired with a toothless gap smile and a scarred forehead that said, I was totally paying attention when I was running around. He tells me as though he was telling the whole world a secret. He has a friend who is just like him. They dressed the same, played the same games, and often found themselves getting chased by times they were running too fast for it to keep up. And this boy would take many trips along the road of my memory. Each time he makes a scheduled pit stop where he drops off the stories of how he and his friend picked up a game of basketball or got in with a real cool group of friends or learned a set of really cool jokes which prompted the first lesson to roast. And I remember my questions that arose like speed bumps trying to slow him down. I asked him, with all this you and your friend business, have you been doing anything for the you and yourself business? And he left that moment with a smile, but came back with a look so somber, I could tell how vacant his heart was. And this boy wanted to express the softer parts of him, and he didn't need words to tell me that his friends didn't agree. Words left his mouth like, guys like us don't do that. Why would you wear clothes like that? Why do you talk like this? Boy, left without any happiness in his stride, wandering on a not-so-worn path he thought he knew. This boy was a bird wanting to be free in the woods of identity because I knew he wasn't finding melanin as a comfortable place to reside. And this boy was at a loss of who he was, because in society he was either too soft or too loud, but he was never proud of either, clipping the wings of personality during the forest fire of fitting in, and what was left was a wingspan singed by the way he should talk, his feathers ruffled where he tried to find his true colors, and then, right at the moment he needed to jump and fly, landed an ashen grave of the boy he wanted to be. And this boy was mourning the loss of himself. And what he didn't know was amongst those ashes was burning feathers paired with a beating heart, poised and ready to fly. The boy I almost became.
Wow. Tell me more about that particular piece of poetry. What inspired you to write it?
Growing up, I always kind of had these moments where I felt in between two lifestyles, between like the being that more stereotypical quote-unquote black person or not being that and being what I figured was myself. And I had kind of this identity complex. And so growing up, I struggled with that a bit. And this was kind of like my reflection upon that now that I've kind of accepted, that I have accepted myself more for who I am and who I want to be and not I thought I should be.
You know, it reminds me of the work by Maya Angelou, written in 1983, The Caged Bird. And maybe I'll have an opportunity to share that later on, just in terms of wanting to be out, to be free.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very, very, very powerful piece. Would you like to favor us again?
Yeah. All right. This one's going to be a little bit of a longer one.
Okay. All right.
All right. This one. This one is called Frequencies. When I was younger, I remember spending a majority of my time stepping into the homes of other families because the so-called home for me didn't fit quite right for me. I was impoverished, but you couldn't tell by the clothes I wore by comparing the list of electronics and games that I had to the list of electronics and games that I wanted. And even though there was often times where it was tedious to get a meal in my stomach, it wasn't that that haunted me. This ghost was my only company in the late hours of the night, then stalked me from classroom to classroom in the peak hours of the day. It followed me so close that my body could be nothing more than a shell for it to live in. My mind became a voicemail machine, and every time that phone went ding and someone would ask, "How's it going?" the response was as follows: "I'm fine. I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine." And this message went off so many times for so many people that I actually started to believe it. And it was then that it felt like my soul had left my body because it didn't like the landlord. So it wandered, following the footsteps of others in hopes of being brought back on the track towards the destination known as home. Scouring for some way to feel, my soul wandered into the homes of friends and families, where I learned that love comes in plethora of varieties. And my soul wandered onto the stage and into the spotlight, where I learned that blood isn't the only thing that binds us tight. And my soul wandered from place to place at a semi-decent pace, except for when it came to a case where I had to slow down. Slow down to observe the events on this new foreground. It noticed that it wasn't the only soul wandering to find a new home. Nor is it the only one feeling lost and alone, and like a CD player on repeat, our bodies voice a familiar message like a symphony. "I'm fine," says the girl with scars riding up our arms like railroad tracks, but they lie hidden within the tunnels of her clothing, just waiting for someone to shine a light in on the darkness. "I'm fine," says the boy whose concept of romance is locked inside his ribcage because he is afraid of whether or not the views of his father's love become the views of his father's religion, all because he doesn't like the girl next door. He likes her brother. And we've all heard these words echo from person to person, each of them broadcasting their own stories over the radio network of community. But why is it that not many of us are tuned in on the right frequency? And we each become sinking ships, sending out SOS messages for someone to save our ship, save ourselves, and save our soul. Save us from the oceans of our dark minds and broken hearts, because no one wants to breathe in phrases like, "You're worthless, you're a waste of space, and you're not good enough." Especially when you're drowning in the tide of insecurities, they begin to change and then sting your lungs trying to get out. "I'm worthless, I'm a waste of space, and I'm not good enough." And as we choke on these words in the tide, we actually start to believe them. And sometimes we forget that it's okay to ask for help. As if we, for a moment, have misplaced those words amongst our emotions. So when we scavenge the battlefield of our minds and pick out a phrase, a simple phrase, when we can't actually hit that help button, it doesn't mean that you can't try. But here is something to be wary of. We are not looking for heroes. We are not looking for miracle workers. We are aware that we are drained, we are scarred, and we are wounded. But we are not broken. We are looking for someone to just be there when we feel we are at our darkest point. We are looking for someone to help us make our troubled oceans more like troubled ponds. But we look back and say, "Look how far I've come," because it's so far away. And we are looking for someone to tune in, answer the call, and bring us home. Frequencies.
What does that poem mean to you?
It's kind of a two-part thing. I find that, you know, it's kind of a little bit of my own personal journey going through a real huge sin of depression, and trying to find the ways to both speak and ask for help, but also being on the other side of that at the same time and knowing that sometimes you don't have to do the biggest things to help someone out when they're in that place. Just need a guiding light sometimes. So that's kind of how I think about it.
And that guiding light can come from really anywhere. Just something that lifts you up as you're going through the vicissitudes of life. Some days are good, some days are bad, but finding a guiding light is very, very important.
Exactly.
The calling number is 646-787-1631, and we'll be right back. Back now. My name is Michael Anthony Ingram. I'd like to welcome you to Quintessential Listening Poetry. We're here tonight with Dominic Jones, a.k.a. Xenomir. He's an incredible young artist, and we'll continue with this journey. What I'd like to do first, though, is to recite that piece that I shared, that I talked about in terms of Maya Angelou's work, The Caged Bird, because I think it fits in perfectly with the message that you are attempting to share with everyone. The Caged Bird.
Sounds good.
The free bird leaps on the back of the wind and floats downstream till the currents end and dips his wings in the orange sun rays and dares to claim the sky. But a bird that stalks down his narrow cage can seldom see through his bars of rage. His wings are clipped and his feet are tied, so he opens his throat to sing. The caged bird sings with fearful trill of things unknown but longed for still, and his tune is heard on distant hill, for the caged bird sings of freedom. The free bird thinks of another breeze and the trade winds soft through the sighing trees, and the fat worms waiting on the dawn bright lawn, and he names the sky his own. But a caged bird stands on the grave of dreams. His shadow shouts on a nightmare scream. His wings are clipped and his feet are tied, so he opens his throat to sing. The caged bird sings with fearful trill of things unknown but longed for still, and his tune is heard on the distant hill, for the caged bird sings of freedom. So as I've listened to you, the running theme for me that I've heard is freedom to be yourself.
I like that. I've also really liked that poem. Maya is definitely like one of the poets that I've gotten attached to, especially the fact that she also dips into different art mediums and isn't just in one too. So I'm like, yeah, there's other people that do it. I can't do it this way.
That's beautiful. Well, what I'd like us to do now at this particular point is for you to share another piece with us.
Okay. All right. This one is superheroes. I used to love superheroes. In fact, still do. The concept of an individual being capable of single-handedly defending the world from injustice seems pretty cool. Looking back on it now, superheroes often go through a lot before they become the heroes that we know them as. Superman didn't become Superman until after he was sent to Earth in his home planet's final moments. Batman didn't become Batman until after embracing his fear, when the tragic play known as Murder played with him as the audience, and his parents
as the leading roles. Daredevil didn't become Daredevil only after being exposed to a radioactive substance and later had to deal with the loss of his father. And I used to think that I had gone through enough that maybe I would become a superhero. Now, if I put time in reverse, I remember a time where I used to curse the schools I attended because at times I felt socially offended because talking white was either seen as a blight on my life or a boost to uplift it. And now I'm beginning to remember that breaking people's perceptions is a good way to start conducting your own. And if I were to rewind to a time where I lacked conviction and I thought my reality was just another case of sleeping fiction, since I had lost my home, my love, and my dearest friend. Now, I'm beginning to remember that losing everything gave me a chance to accept anything. And after 22 years of living, I have been mentally and emotionally altered by chemical concoctions of hateful words and tough love that it filled me with a negative charge, and I began isolating myself from the positive aspects of my life so much so that at the age of 12, I made use of my newfound power of invisibility. And after 23 years of living, I have been physically augmented so much so that if it came down to fight or flight, I would run faster than most and would be at least able to hold my own in case things got worse. And after 23 years of living, I'm beginning to remember to remain calm, humble, and generous. Misunderstanding my dad and stepmom when there was a lesson to be learned, I'm beginning to remember the teachers, mentors, and friends who pushed me to create, imbue, enlighten, and invigorate through the power of art and touching someone's heart. And I'm beginning to remember that friends who put their disparity aside just long enough not to only tell me but show me that if life throws you into the water with an anchor around your ankle, as long as your heart still beats, you always refuse to sink. And I am beginning to remember that superheroes often go through a lot before they become the heroes that we know them as. And you don't have to be super to be a hero. Thank you.
Another very powerful piece, Dominic.
Thank you.
So when I'm listening, I'm wondering, who am I listening to? Am I listening to Dominic Jones or am I listening to Zen Amir? Which one?
That's a good question. I guess I never really thought about that. I feel like all in all, you are listening to Dominique.
Okay.
Zenomir might be a veil. It's there.
Okay. Yeah.
But I want the authenticity to be what's heard. I want the rawness of that when I perform in any sense, really. And I feel that I was saying this to someone the other day when I was actually talking with them, that I look for not necessarily me to be heard, but my words to be heard.
Mm. And what is the qualitative difference?
I feel I don't really like look for moments where like, yeah, I'm going to go up here and talk. It's more like, I'm going to share these thoughts with you.
Okay.
And these thoughts are going to be the things that you hear. And I feel like those thoughts that are building up from within me that come out come with a deeper, from a deeper place of origin.
All right.
Does that work? Is that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It works. It works. Because it sounds like you've had a very rich lived experience to be a young man. It sounds like you've gone through a lot and that you've learned a lot about yourself.
Yeah. I definitely have always taken time to reflect. It's very important to me.
How long does it take you to write a piece?
Well, that can be, I think it's usually in a matter of either weeks or like hours. I've actually written some pieces that I perform the same night that I write them at an open mic, like a couple pieces from now, not the next one I have lined up, but I'll actually show you what I mean. I do this thing called Inspired By, and I actually get thoughts from random people, and sometimes I try to get that poem. I get random thoughts from people. They don't see each other's thoughts, like four people, and then I put that together into a piece. And sometimes I will try to get that piece done the same night I get the thoughts and then put it on an open mic stage. So.
Have you always been willing to stand up in front of people and recite?
It's at first I was like, I don't know. And I'm still a little bit like that, but not nearly as much as I used to be.
Okay.
So now, I used to frequent open mics a lot, and then it slimmed down a little bit now. But.
And things have slowed down for what reason? Because it sounds as if your voice needs to be heard.
Busyness and schedule more often than not.
Okay. I can understand that. Do you sit and think through every word of every stanza or verse, or do you just write freely?
That's usually the difference between my 2-hour poems and my week long poems.
Okay.
I think if it's something that's really, when I'm writing something that's really affected me or like it's some life event that I'm trying to reflect on, those are usually my longer pieces that take a longer time to write. And I think about I put a lot into thought of every word that's going into it. And then my shorter pieces, I do still have the same effect, but I feel like it comes out more freely than when I'm trying to work on those heavier set pieces for me.
Okay. All right. Let's take a little break, and we'll be right back with Dominique Jones, a.k.a. Zenomir. My name is Michael Anthony Ingram, and this is Quintessential Listening Poetry. We are back. Dominic, do you have another one for us?
Yep.
Right.
All right. So this next one, sometimes I actually compose music to my pieces. It's been something that I've been trying to work on a little bit more, and I'm going to do one of those for you. It's called What Can You Say? And I'm just getting the technology to work with me here for a second.
Yes, not a problem. Not a problem.
All right. Here we go. Did you know there may be roughly 1,025,109.8 words in the English language and counting, adding an additional word to the world of language about every 98 minutes. And if you're looking for a translation, that is every hour and 38 minutes. If you're looking for a sense of equivalence, that is 14.7 words every day. Now, while I sit here crunching numbers as though I were in math class, other minds might be caught trying to get past. Why? Now, what if I told you that if languages were tangible beings, they would be quite amazing beings?
They would possess a balance of finesse and distress, meanwhile digress into a state heated debate that could bounce between idle ideologies and conflicting philosophies in any situation without an ounce of hesitation. Because within them contains a certain power, a power to take fear and all the words like it and convert it from poison to fuel as fear becomes fearless. And by their hand, they can chisel hopelessness down into the masterpiece that is known as hope, where it be shown in the galleries of our lives as a piece titled, How We Made It. It's in the mind as we strive for a good grade or a good meal, or even as a small hint of life blooms to truly feel real. Now, if languages were like human beings, they would be able to smooth talk their way from one heart to another, orchestrating our sweet spots, played on our heartstrings to have the swoon over the luscious fantasy that is known as love. Now, if you hadn't noticed, this concept has us dancing along the lines of perfection, so with further inspection, let's make the necessary correction. We are not made from language. But our lives do dive into the sea of 1,025,109.8 and counting. We retain what sticks to us, whether it's words of time and what to do as it passes, of experiences and where it brings you. And as the words flow rapidly through the body, we go through endeavors where all the words we know are tested. It's in the moments where fear swells to make the heart pace and blood pace like cars on a highway, when hope is a bitter and rare resource, when love is embodied within those you love, and when all the words in your repertoire dwindle down to zero. What can you say? What can you say when your loved one looks you in the eyes to find the answer of how much you love them? It's then that you find out love is worth more than words. What can you say when a saved dog flinches the moment you have a broom in a hand as a way to say, don't hurt me? What can you say when a family broken by ill health and ill living looks to you asking you, can you fix this? And when you look to the world and ask, can these problems stop? And with so many words, we sometimes don't know what to do when the cat has our silence is the only eruption that can be sensed. So promise me, when you're faced with those tests and those words don't come, you do anything but walk away. And that was what Ken said.
Why music with that particular piece?
I liked the idea of doing it with this one, and this was actually the first time I did this kind of thing with it, with a piece. The reason I chose this one was with so many words and the different ways you can use language, you can have that same kind of effect with music, and music in itself is like another language. And I like interacting and weaving different aspects together in that kind of sense, and it just seemed like a perfect fit to me.
All right. It's beautiful, beautiful. Everyone, the number is 646-787-1631. If you'd like to call in and you have a piece of poetry you'd like to share to compliment Dominic's work, please do so. Again, the number is 646-787-1631, and we'll be right back.
Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. Again, my name is Michael Anthony Ingram. I'm here with Dominic Jones, a.k.a. Zen Amir. What I'd like to do at this particular point is to recite a piece, and its title is The Invitation, and it was written by Oriah Mountain Dreamer. It doesn't interest me what you do for a living. I want to know what you ache for, and if you dare to dream of meeting your heart's longing. It doesn't interest me how old you are. I want to know if you will risk looking like a fool for love, for your dreams, for the adventure of being alive. It doesn't interest me what planets are swirling your moon. I want to know if you have touched the center of your own sorrow, if you have been opened by life's betrayals or have become shriveled and closed from fear of further pain. I want to know if you can sit with pain, mine or your own, without moving or to hide it or fade it or fix it. I want to know if you can be with joy, mine or your own, if you can dance with wildness and let the ecstasy fill you to the tips of your fingers and toes without cautioning us to be careful, be realistic, remember the limitations of being human. It doesn't interest me if the story you are telling me is true. I want to know if you can disappoint another to be true to yourself. If you can bear the accusation of betrayal and not betray your own soul. If you can be faithless and therefore trustworthy. I want to know if you can see beauty, even when it's not pretty every day. And if you can source your own life for its presence. I want to know if you can live with failure, yours and mine, and still stand at the edge of the lake and shout to the silver of the full moon, yes. It doesn't interest me to know where you live or how much money you have. I want to know if you can get up after your night of grief and despair, weary and bruised to the bone, and do what needs to be done to feed the children. It doesn't interest me who you know or how you came to be here. I want to know if you can stand in the center of the fire with me and not shrink back. It doesn't interest me where or what or with whom you have studied. I want to know what sustains you from the inside when all else fails. I want to know if you can be alone with yourself and if you truly like the company you keep in the private moments. That was The Invitation by Oriah Mountain Dreamer.
I like that one. Really like that one.
All right.
Especially just talking the beauty of being human and the things that can come about that.
Right. That's very important to be able to live with yourself, to settle in inside yourself, to find out who you really are. And that's difficult at times.
Oh, yeah.
Who really has the time to focus on themselves to that degree? But if you're able to harness that kind of energy, it'll give you a better understanding of what your purpose is.
Mm-hmm.
What is your core? What do you truly believe about the world? So, Dominic, I'm going to turn it back over to you. And another poem.
Okay. All right. So, as I was mentioning a little bit earlier, I do this inspired by series where I gather thoughts from people, and this is one of those pieces.
Okay.
So I think it's interesting. I'll read off the thoughts so you can get the context of the piece too, at least a little bit.
Okay. All right.
So thought one, that counts. Thought two, eliminate the impossible. Whatever remains, however improbable, must be truth. Three, when put on the spot, thinking a thought is not easy. It's not. Four, here's my 2 cents, a penny for your thoughts. Do what you love and you love what you do. Don't worry, it's not worth the energy you put into it. Always have something to write on with you. Inspiration is everywhere. And five, life is an endless series of distractions from life. Places can hold memories. That's why houses have ghosts. Do-gooders get prideful.
Hedonists die early. Apathy is the only true middle ground to avoid hurting people. Apathetic people hurt people in ways that they don't realize. And if they don't realize it when it wasn't observed, isn't life, the universe, and everything but we ourselves observe? So that's the five thoughts I have for this piece. And this is inspired by number 7, Falling Into Tomorrow, which opens with a song bit that's not mine. It's actually from Counting Stars by One Republic.
Lately, I've been losing sleep, dreaming about the things that we could be. But baby, I've been playing hard, so no more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars. Yeah, we'll be counting stars.
Second sheet. Times games over, popped over on the screen, or posts that have been swiped by like clouds across the sky at night. Our insomniatic plights have made us aware of so many distractions, so many reasons we try to stretch out the net of today just a little further to catch every ounce of instant gratification until we fall through into tomorrow. And this age of now, we somehow know how to find like-minded communities, videos, and posts where at most teach us how to perpetuate who we already are. As if expanding who we are is a concept so far out of reach that we simplify it down from who we are and who we wish to be to who we are and what we want. And how we want to taunt our core that has been trying to explore the reasons that their friend time hasn't come knocking on our door. So what will you do when your heart puts you on the spot when you've finally been caught killing time? Trapped inside the bedroom of consciousness long enough that you forget what the daylight of opportunity looks like. Screens eclipsing our dreams and blocking out our futures, where the light left cast is the reasons we take for granted. So no wonder we can't stand to look at it. And if you're not going to look, that's fine. But don't remain ignorant to its presence. For those who play blind to their own hearts, make room for two options. Realize your error when there's still time to change it. Or realize after time has walked your heart into the sunset. So if you find yourself looking for the leftover light before you fall into tomorrow, seize it with everything you have. Take notes from everyone you meet, from the apathetic to the overly apologetic. Do not limit yourself to opportunity. And when you do go into tomorrow, don't just fall. Don't bother taking an elevator. Take the stairs to show yourself you're taking the time to savor each moment, and exerting the effort is the key to turning the ignition to really owning it. And if the world is what we observe, why not try to capture as much of it as we can? Falling Into Tomorrow.
Another powerful piece.
Thank you.
Let me ask you a question. All mm-hmm. great writers have writing influences. And you mentioned Maya Angelou earlier. Who are some of your other writing influences, and what makes them great in your eyes?
So there's Maya. Another one would be Langston Hughes. Mm-hmm. We have a poetry slam in Rochester here called the Day of the Dead Poetry Slam, where people actually embody the poets of the past and perform their work for the slam. And so my second year of doing it, and that was one of the slams I won, was actually Langston Hughes. So I got a lot of time to really like dive into his work and how he uses his work to speak for what he believes in, and what he believes in right is right. And that's kind of one of the things that stuck with me with him. And then another poet is Shane Koizan.
How do you spell that?
Koizan is spelled K KOYCZAN.
All right. Thank you.
Believe if I got that right. I kind of need to see it.
Okay. All right.
But I stumbled into his work actually in the midst of, I think it was either like right before the homeless stint or right as it happened. And it kind of like was that spark to say, like, I need to start writing again.
Okay.
And his work is really, there's just this really genuine moving component to it that I don't really know how to explain other than like when I hear his pieces, like I'm there on that journey with him, I feel. And that's something I try to pertain to. And then my last big influence is Alicia Nicole Harris. I went to a slam once and she taught a workshop, and her work, one of the big conversations that we had throughout that night was how spoken word poetry can have the tendency to have a certain shape to it, and it's a lot more difficult to find like it shifted in a positive light. And that was like, yeah, we can do more of that, and that's what I want to do. And so having her have a conversation with us like stuck with me, and she had kind of continued that conversation in her pieces as well. So that really got emulated and emphasized through that.
Now, in your biographical sketch, I stated that you've written an anthology. How would I find it? Where would I find it?
I have a piece in an anthology.
Okay.
Okay. It is,
well, where would I find it?
Yeah, I just want to elaborate on that part. But it is called Celebration of Poets. It was the 2009 anthology. And it was like a school-based, or not school-based, but school age-based contest that it came from. So it was actually my first time trying to submit anything, and I was really surprised at the time. my teacher, Miss Purvis, actually like pushed me to send something in for it, and really grateful that she did, because that also made writing stick with me a little longer.
Right. Well, will you favor us again?
Of course.
All right, please do.
Okay. We'll do this.
I could take a quick commercial break and come right back.
Oh, I got it.
That'd be helpful. Okay.
Yep,
all right.
I got it. Use the right tab.
Right.
And this one is called Recovery. They say acceptance is the first step to recovery, and hindsight is the animal that sniffed out my intentions during the late night bridges to daylight. The body, a creature that wanted so much more than it needed, as the mind reinvigorates every graze of skin, every attempt to get drunk off of my own watered-down thrill-of-the-moment form of love. I hate the fact that my eyes will fly over the unrestricted airspace that is your body, quickly becoming King Kong to strike myself down before I go too far. And sometimes I simmer on the thought of shape-shifting into a snake so I don't solicit reasons why I suppress my urge to touch. I would want to slither out of my own skin, hoping that like a butterfly from its cocoon, I could free myself from my own shell of indecency. And isn't it crazy how we can consider ourselves civilized, but guys, we have this untamed beast within the depths of our manhood where we have misunderstood what really counts as good. And let's started as primal urges has made whole societies fall methodically into the philosophy that the balance tips is equal. But what they don't tell you is within every space that it resonates, from every friendship to every workplace, has been leaving us deaf to what people are really saying, blind to what people are really doing, and mute from us saying anything to stop it. And these people are the women in our lives. Our mothers, sisters, daughters, friends, coworkers, and wives. And these are some of the influential people who dipped their hands into the clay of life, found hope and determination, put it together, and helped shape you without asking anything in return. So let's give them this. Bring ourselves off of the soapbox of ignorance that we've stood upon for so long. Hand over the megaphone that we have mansplained with so we can dampen those primal urges to touch, look, and fantasize, and amplify an already powerful voice by really listening from the depths of your heart, really seeing the greatness women are already doing, and speaking when something needed needs to be done. Recovery.
You know, when people hear your work, I'm sure they want to know what's next. What's next for you as a writer, as a performance, as a Renaissance artist?
Okay. So, what's next is I'm going to speak on specifically on grounds of writing first.
Okay.
I want to put out a physical, something tangible of my work, because I feel like I've gotten to that point and I can do it with some grounds to stand on. So whether that means it's a spoken word album or a book, that much I'm still thinking about, but I'm looking into putting that idea into the works and making that a reality. And then as far as a performing artist goes, my next steps is probably just getting my stuff out there more. Because I feel that I am kind of like a ghost into the internet and social media and stuff. I have some things, but I don't have a lot. I don't have like, you can see basically a lot of my work through this, or I have like just little glimpses and pieces here and there. So that's kind of my next steps, is getting that more solid, as well as starting that project of putting out a tangible product.
All right. I did find some of your work on SoundCloud.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the place where people could go to.
Yeah, that is one spot that you can look for some of the pieces. I also have a YouTube channel that has some things. Has my other poem that I composed with music underneath, as well as a couple other pieces. But like I said, it's not much yet, so I want to change that. I want to put more things out there so more things can be referenced and found later. But
well,
those are the two spaces.
You're extremely talented. And the world does need to hear your voice. And so I recommend...
Really appreciate it.
...putting out as much as you can, putting out as much quality work as you can so that people know that you're out there. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. are back. This is Quintessential Listening Poetry. My name is Michael Anthony Ingram. I'd like to thank our guest, Dominic Jones, a.k.a. Zenovir, for sharing with us some very beautiful and profound works. I'm wondering, do you have at least one more that you can share with us before we conclude?
I have plenty, but I will give one to close it out because that makes sense.
All right.
This one is called Note to Self. Hey you, it's me, also known as you. No, not me from the past you, nor my far enough ahead to be future you. I am just simply me, which is just simply you, which is asking one simple task. Wake up. And by wake up, I mean more than just getting out of bed. I mean kicking the Sandman away from your head, because it is time you realize what his spell is doing to you. This is no longer a time for our mind to find solace in a state of malice and bitterness, nor is it a crime to stop walking through the day zombified and gather up some inspiration to reignite the fire of your goal. We are both aware that these days you go through life like a deer who got caught staring into the eyes of the monster with the headlights. So this is just a reminder to just move. Push yourself ever forward through the limitations you built before yourself. Open your eyes. It will only take a second to realize that these are just illusions. Let yourself be free from any obtrusions and no longer perceive your troubles as delusions, because you have been running hard and there is no way you are not going to finish. Keep going. Keep going even when your heart is exhausted and you find yourself carrying a warning label saying, "This heart breaks others." We are not defined by our labels, but we are held down by the chains our brains bind us with, which is why I've started tattooing these thoughts on this page, because if I take the time to do so, I might have the chance to etch them into your heart. We often tear ourselves down but forget to pick ourselves up. We often want to do so much for the world and yet forget to include ourselves in it, which is why I want you to soar. Soar as if gravity were an entity that evaporated from existence. Let confidence convince consistency in this instance to wake up, open your eyes, and rise over the state of defeat, because this story is not complete. It's just getting started. There is so much intended for you, so much for your voice to inspire. You are just getting started. And if you think you can't get where you want to be, think again. Sincerely yours, the one and only lovely you. Thank you. That was Note to Self. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, yes, you're more than welcome. I'd like again to thank you for being the guest tonight on Quintessential Listening Poetry. It was a truly phenomenal hour. I learned so much from you, just in terms of your talent and your ability to recite, to be you, to be honest, to be in integrity. So again, I'd like to thank you. I'd like to thank our listening audience. Please join us.
Thank you so much.
Yes. Please tune in the next time for another episode of Quintessential Listening Poetry. Thank you very much. Good night, everyone.